Today on Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, we'll discover what holds us back from the flow of God's fullness in our lives.
Some of you are here today and you cannot experience God or felt His power, not because God is not present, not because God doesn't love you. You cannot receive it because there's bitterness, unforgiveness, or anger that does not allow you to experience the fullness of God.
Welcome to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, today we're going to be looking at the relationship between faithfulness and forgiveness. And Mark, I've heard you say often that holding a grudge or not forgiving someone can actually affect the way God works in our life.
You know, Wayne, I've had conversations with multiple people at this time who claim to be atheists. And when we start peeling back the onion of how they came to their atheistic belief, so many times it boils down to, I was hurt by the church, oh. I was hurt by someone that had faith. And so their anger and unforgiveness is really the root of their doubt and unbelief.
I can see that, yeah.
And you don't have to be an atheist to struggle with anger and unforgiveness that affects your faith.
This is such an important lesson. So let's turn to God's Word for the solution and get started. We're in Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 20.
You know, the essence of faith is not just intellectual belief, but the essence of faith is I have to be willing to trust. A lot of people say that they have faith, but they believe in God sort of like, well, they believe in the existence of God, but they haven't come to the point where they're actually ready to trust God. How many of you know there's a difference between believing that God exists and being willing to trust God with our lives? The Bible says that even the demons believe in God, but it doesn't make them right with God. You see, the fact that I believe that there is a supreme being, that God exists, that He's up there is one thing. But the fact that I'm willing to trust Him with my life is a whole different thing. Not too long ago, I had an experience. My daughter, who's 20 years old, really wanted to go skydiving. And so my wife, for Christmas, bought my daughter and I via Groupon some skydiving tickets. And so I think she also upped our insurance as well, got me skydiving tickets and upped my insurance. So on the way to this skydiving expedition here, my daughter and I went together and got on this airplane. They give you a little bit of instruction. We got on this airplane, a little small airplane. The airplane takes off, and it went up about 1,000 feet. I thought we're pretty high as I looked out the window. Then it went 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet, 4,000 feet. When we got to 5,000 feet, I said to the guy next to me, I said, "So are we almost there?" He said, "Oh, no, we have a long ways to go." We went to 10,000 feet. Finally, we reached 13,000 feet high. My heart's starting to pump a little bit. And they do tandem jumps, so they attach someone. If you're jumping for the first time, you can't just jump on your own, but they attach someone that jumps with you. And so as soon as they, well, on my way up, I started thinking, I hope these guys know what they're doing. And I hope the guy who packed the parachute wasn't drunk, because I just want to make sure that my parachute works when I jump out of this plane. And so I just met the guy, but I'm putting my hands in his life. And my daughter, I was more worried about that guy. I said, "So how many times have you jumped before?" He said, "Well, I've jumped several thousand times." And I'm kind of grilling him a little bit, like, "I want to make sure you know what you're doing, buddy, because you're jumping out of this airplane with my daughter." There's an element of trust. And although I trusted them okay after he told me he jumped several thousand times, I still asked them, "Hey, what if you pass out or have a heart attack? I want to have a plan B. So show me what strings I need to pull to get this parachute out just in case you don't make it." When that door opened up, it was a pretty weird experience to jump out of a plane at 13,000 feet. It was a blast, by the way, I have to tell you. We had a lot of fun. But there's an element of trust. You have to trust, not just believe that it will work, but there's an element of trust. So it is with God. That not only do we have to believe that God exists, but Hebrews tells us that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I believe that there's many people that believe in God, but I think there's a much fewer segment of the population that's actually decided to trust God. And in Mark chapter 11, I believe it gives us insight into why many people have a tough time trusting God. And I'm going to begin reading in Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 12, actually, and then read a couple of these verses just to set the scenario. It tells us the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. I love that. I love that the Son of God was hungry. Doesn't it make you relate a little bit more to Jesus? He got tired, he was hungry, he got cold, he got hot, So it says that Jesus was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached out and found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs, he then said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say that. Every time that Jesus does something, he does it for a reason. So he goes to eat figs from a tree. He finds only leaves. So he curses the fig tree so that no one will ever eat figs from it again. It seems like a random act. Jesus never uses his power randomly. It wasn't that he had a bad day and just went in a fit of rage. It was that Jesus was seeking to teach his disciples something about faith and trust. He went to the temple and had a cleansing of the temple, and then he headed back to the way he came. It tells us in verse 19, and when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. Verse 20, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." So in the morning, he cursed the tree. By the time he came back to the tree, the tree's leaves had withered up and it had become rotten and visibly withered. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Now, many have heard this verse and you've heard someone say, "Hey, if you believe enough, you can say to this mountain, 'Mountain, move from here to over there.'" And we've quoted this verse, and many of it have said, "I just need to have more faith." But what many people have not seen is what Jesus says right after that statement when he's talking about prayer. He says, you need to believe, you need to trust God, and faith is a powerful thing. Faith is so powerful that if prayed the right way, it can move mountains, it can change circumstances. But he goes on to say, and many people miss this, but when you go to pray, make sure that your heart is not cluttered with unforgiveness. Because when your heart is cluttered with unforgiveness, then it stops the flow of God's forgiveness in your life as well. I was reading this passage and I started to think, that there is a strong relation between faith and forgiveness. And I want to point your attention to that today because I believe that there's a lot of people that struggle with faith because they haven't forgiven. In fact, I am convinced that most atheists that I talk to, and I've talked to quite a few in my day, people that claim to be atheists, and maybe you are here today in church and you're struggling with faith, and maybe you don't even know if you believe in God or not. And occasionally we have people in church that come up to me after service and say, "Pastor, I'm here, but I'm an atheist." And I welcome them and say, "I'm glad you're here. I hope that God speaks to your heart." But here's what I've discovered, that most people that I talk to that claim to be atheists are not atheists out of deductive reasoning. In other words, they haven't come to the conclusion because they've studied science and philosophy and determined that there is no God. Most atheists that I've talked to are atheists out of reaction. They've been hurt by the church, disappointed by people that claim to know God, have pain in their life because life has been unfair, and so they look to the heavens and say, "God, if you were real, you wouldn't let this happen." And so they choose not to believe in God. I spoke about this very thing when I was in Quito, Ecuador. And I had two seniors in high school that wanted to talk to me, one after another. I sat down with a young man, and he said, "I want to talk to you," he said, "because I'm an atheist." He says, "I'm not sure I agree with you about the fact of being hurt and reacting against God." And so I sat down with him. I said, "Well, tell me your story." And as he began to tell me his story, he told me a story of abandonment by a father who claimed to be a believer, hurt, pain, rejection. And as he grew older, he determined in his life, "Well, I've chosen not to follow God." The very thing that I had spoken about, and he said, "Well, you have to have so much faith to believe in a God that you cannot touch and feel and hear and see." As we began to talk, I said, "Well, where do you think this world came from?" He says, "Well, I don't really know. I guess matter, something happened, evolution." I said, "Where do you think matter came from? And who was the creator of matter? And what was the spark that caused the supposed Big Bang that caused us to evolve into what we are, as some people would claim that there is no creator God?" And he said, "Well, I can't explain it. I really don't know where we came from." And I said, "Listen, you have to have as much faith to believe in your atheism than I have to believe in God, or even more. It's not about not having faith. It's about choosing where you will put your faith." Are you tracking with me?
You're listening to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Job, and our message today is called Faith and Forgiveness. We're in the 11th chapter of Mark, and we'll continue in a moment, but if you would like to hear this message again, or if you'd like to send a link to a friend who might need to hear this message series, you can do that online at boldstepsweekend.org. Look for the series, Help My Unbelief, Speaking to the Heart of Doubt. And then while you're online, you can also send your friends and family a link to our social media pages, because we have a growing community of believers gathered on those platforms, and you can like and follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by simply searching for Bold Steps Radio. All right, right now, let's jump back into the second part of today's message. Once again, here's Mark Job.
Never be intimidated by someone that says, "Well, you believe in God, I believe in science," because some of the brightest scientists that have existed down through the ages and some of the brightest scientists today are believers in a creator God. Science and faith do not contradict each other. Science and faith complement each other over and over again. But I believe that many of us struggle with our faith, not necessarily because logically we've come to an intellectual conclusion that God is not there, but I believe that many of us struggle with our faith because of what Jesus talked about in this passage. And so if you're taking notes today, I want you to jot this down, really important. And some of you today are struggling with whether you believe in God or not, or whether you can trust in God or not because of this. Listen. Unforgiveness blocks the voice of God and cultivates an atmosphere of doubt. Jesus said, and when you stand praying, he says that you need to have faith. He says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you as well. Faith and forgiveness are tied together. Faith won't work if the heart is clogged up with unforgiveness. You see, your past hurts have helped shape your beliefs about God without even realizing it. There are many of you that are here that have a real hard time believing in a loving God because, well, you never had a loving father. You had a father that, if you didn't do good, his love was conditional. Or maybe a father that abandoned you when you were young and had very little relationship with you. Or maybe you had a father that was abusive physically or mentally. Or a father that was not encouraging. So when we talk about God, believing in God, you have a hard time believing in a good God. A God that is loving. A God that is unconditional. A God that loves you truly 100% and pursues you. You have a hard time believing in that kind of God. Not because it's not clearly outlined in Scripture, but because you have hurts in your heart that causes you to not be able to clearly see that kind of image of God. You see, the pileup of pain and hurt in the average person's life oftentimes harms the ability to trust and leads to doubt the goodness of God. Many people that I have talked to that have a hard time believing in God or trusting God, it's because people in authority in their lives have disappointed them, abandoned them, hurt them. So to think of God makes them to think they distrust God. What is the price we pay for unforgiveness? Well, your perspective and sense of fairness is altered. Your freedom is taken when you have unforgiveness in your heart. Your emotional health suffers because of unforgiveness. The ability to experience real relational closeness is lost because of unforgiveness. Your ability to manage your anger is also lost through unforgiveness. And oftentimes your ability to trust anyone in authority, trust any, whether it be a principal, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a coach, or whether it be God himself, it's hard to trust when you've been disappointed by people that were supposed to be looking out for you, leading you, but yet you have been hurt by them. Now, how does unforgiveness block faith? Well, you need to see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and then verses 14 through 15, Jesus is teaching us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And you've all prayed this before. And some of us just glaze over this part of the Lord's Prayer. But it says, and forgive us our debts or trespasses, as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us. We've prayed that 100 times, many, many times. But do you realize what you're actually praying? You're actually praying, Lord, if I don't forgive other people, then don't forgive me either. If I hold a grudge towards others, Lord, you hold a grudge towards me. I remember for years, I would pray the Lord's Prayer, and then I would skip over this part. Because I thought, I don't know if I want to pray that. And then he goes on to say, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In essence, what he's saying is that as long as you hold unforgiveness in your own heart, then God cannot fully release you because you are in a state of sinning, and God cannot release you while you are unrepentant about that. Here's the way it works. As you begin to release and forgive others, then the forgiveness of God flows clearly and powerfully into your life. But when you have resentment, pain, unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart, then it clogs up the channel that allows the forgiveness of God to flow to you. Some of you are here today and you cannot experience God and you have not experienced His presence or felt His power, not because God is not present, not because God doesn't love you, not because God is not reaching out to you, but because the channel through which the grace of God and the presence of God flows has been clogged up, bottlenecked. And although God is pouring it towards you, you cannot receive it because there's bitterness, unforgiveness, or anger that does not allow you to experience the fullness of God. There are people here that you doubt God because you have not heard His voice. There are people here who you have random thoughts of, am I just praying to my head, because you have not experienced His presence. You call to the heaven and they seem like brass. You speak to God and He seems like He does not answer. You see other people that seem to be experiencing the presence of God and you look at them and say, I wish I could feel God like they feel God. But your heart is numb.
And we'll continue with the next point from our study on faith and forgiveness when we come back next week. You're listening to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, and let me remind you that you can easily catch up on these messages whenever it's convenient by listening online at boldstepsweekend.org. When you go to our website, you'll also discover several faith-building tools and resources, like our current Bold Step gift, which is available for a limited time. Right now, we're offering Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, We Will Not Be Silenced. And to get a better understanding of why this book is so timely, I'm going to turn things over to Mark with Dr. Lutzer himself.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Again, we have once again in our studio our friend, a great friend of Moody, pastored Moody Church for 36 years and just still active and preaching all over the place. Hard to keep up with this man, but he's in the studio right now because we want to talk about a book that he wrote called We Will Not Be Silenced. You know, a lot of people, Erwin, believe that as Christians, we don't want to offend people, so they silence their voice in order not to offend people or turn them away from Christianity. Talk to me about your approach about truth and love.
Yes, that's a difficult balance, but I want to share with you that most people don't understand communication. People listen with their hearts as much as they do with their minds. So if you try to convince people simply by their minds, you know, ram it in, cram it in, people's heads are hollow, ram it in, cram it in, make sure there's more to follow, what you might receive is backlash. On the other hand, if all that you do is communicate with their hearts, you might be sacrificing truth. It is possible to do both truth and love. And sometimes we get it wrong, but that's our goal, and that's our scriptural command.
Yeah. And I want to say, by the way, just a personal testimony. Pastor Lutzer pastored for 36 years here in the city of Chicago, a very liberal, progressive city, not necessarily the heart of the Bible belt. And yet the testimony, even in this city, has been of a man that has spoken truth, but in a gracious way. So I want to thank you for that. He's written a book called We Will Not Be Silenced. I highly recommend it, especially if you're struggling with how do I engage in this culture? How do I speak and not silence my voice at a time where really Christians need to be speaking up? And we would love to put a copy of this book in your hands.
So just go online to boldstepsweekend.org to make your donation and request this Bold Step gift. Or call us at 866-535-5580. Once again, 866-535-5580. Or send your financial gift through the mail. Our address is Bold Steps Weekend, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Again, 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. One final reminder, if you haven't already, go and subscribe to our podcast channel and get each of these messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device. Whether you prefer Apple, Spotify, or any other podcast app, you'll find us by searching for Bold Steps Weekend with Dr. Mark Job. Like our page and leave us a comment. Let us know you're listening and share some of your favorite messages with friends and family. I also want to invite you to receive the free devotional Mark sends out to our listeners every week. It's called the Bold Stepper Weekly. You start your Mondays off right with a focus on God's will and wisdom by receiving these encouraging messages straight from the desk of Mark Job. To sign up and learn more, just go online to boldstepsweekend.org. Well, that's all the time we have today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us next week when Mark explains why being unwilling to forgive can cause you more problems than the person you're unwilling to forgive. It's the second part of the message titled Faith and Forgiveness. You'll hear it next time on Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Job. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.